I would like to mention that I usually, for the Vesper service, I find new hymns. I have an endless amount of hymn books, and at night I would look for new hymns and see if I could find one that I enjoy. So you're not going to hear any new hymns. The reason we're going to use every hymn from our book is because of the title, Face to Face. So that would be our title. So what we'd like to do is we're going to cover four areas of scriptures. And this will be sort of briefly, except the third one we'd like to spend more time on. The first will be just a little discussion on the Garden of Eden. The second will be on Romans 10:19-21 and Deuteronomy 32:1-21. And the third will be on Acts 3:19-21. And the fourth will be on favor to Israel, when God will turn his face toward Israel. And we're going to read Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:21-29. So these will all have key thoughts about face. We're going to take a little poll now. You didn't research this, so this will be just how you think or feel. How many would feel that face to face is a scriptural expression? Would you see anything in any scripture that would say face to face? So think that over for just a minute, and then we're going to take a poll. Is there anything in the scriptures that says face to face? Okay, how many feel that in the scriptures there's an expression face to face? Okay, you're correct. Okay, so Amelia, we're very happy to have you with us. Do you have your Bible with you? Okay, could you read? could you read 1 John? Let me get my glass here. Could you read 2 John, verse 12? Read that, and then I have two more scriptures for you. So this is 2 John, verse 12.
2 John 12, from the New American Standard. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full.
Okay, the next scripture I want you to read is 3 John, the 14th verse. 3 John, the 14th verse.
But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face.
Okay, and the next scripture will be 1 Corinthians 13:12.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known.
Okay, so we could see that this is a scriptural expression. I had the first two from John, and this morning Dorothy asked me, what am I going to talk about? And I said, we're going to talk about face-to-face. And I asked her, is that a scriptural expression? And she looked up real quick, and she found the one in Corinthians. So I didn't have the one in Corinthians. I did have the first two. When we come to the Garden of Eden, that's our first section. When God created Adam, he was in a garden for 2 years. So it's impossible for Adam to see a spirit being. But evidently there was a great deal of communication. God told Adam to name all the animals. So evidently there was a great deal of communication that went on, even though he could not see a spirit being. But what's interesting is that when we come to Cain, who at this time sin entered into the world, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 14, we read, "Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face I shall be hidden, and I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and it shall come about that whoever finds me will kill me. So evidently, even though sin entered into the world, they evidently felt the presence of God in their lives because it was so close to creation. So even Cain recognized that he would be hid from God's face. So that's a brief part about Genesis. The next part that we'd like to turn to is we'd like everyone to turn to your Bibles, and we're going to read Romans chapter 10, verse 19 to 21, and this has to do with the rejection of Israel, and this has to do with the high calling. So this is Romans chapter 10, verses 19 to 21, and let's see, we could just call on any... Marilyn Minda, do you have that? That'd be Romans chapter 10, verses 19 to 21.
Romans 10, 19 to 21. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.
Okay, so Paul is really saying that God has chosen a foolish nation, so all the Gentiles who would come into the gospel are really considered a foolish nation, so I'm addressing a foolish nation. And if you look up the word mystery, it means musty. So all those who would be invited to this mystery are really called musties. All right, now Paul is really quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 21. And I want you to take special notice to verse 20. So, Lorraine, happy birthday to you last week. We'll have you read 32, 1 to 21.
And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og.
Excuse me, Lorraine. Is this Deuteronomy 32?
Oh,
32, 1 to 21. This is the founding of Israel.
Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus, requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that had bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rocks, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with the fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thus didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat, and kicked, thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation.
Okay, thank you. So you'll notice in verse 20, it says God will hide his face from them because of the unfaithfulness that Israel displayed. God said he will hide his face from them. That becomes a very important concept because later on when we talk about a little bit like with the Holocaust, the Jewish people were asking, where is God? And God said that he would hide his face from them. So now what we'd like to do, we're going to read hymn 225. This is hymn 205. And in verse 3, you will see the word of face. So what we'd like to do now is sing hymn 225. verse 3, it says, "Oh, what mercy beams in his glorious face." Our third section that we'd like to cover, and I have to say that this is one of my favorite areas of Scripture. I just love this. One of the privileges that you have as an elder is to pick something that you really enjoy, and I think this is very great in faith strengthening to me. So in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, and Sister Cheryl, could you read that for us? Acts 3, 19 to 21, and then we're going to have a little discussion.
This is New American Standard. "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time."
Okay, now you'll notice in verse 19, it uses the word presence. And that really is the right thought about being presence, but the word is a Greek word, and it's in volume 2, page 188. This is volume 2, page 108. This is one of the most important footnotes in scriptures, and what it really is, it means prosopon, which would mean the face of Jehovah. So what we were talking about when we saw the ransom and sin offering this morning, and also in our discussion with Brother Richard on the forward, once God had the deposit of justice, I mean of the blood in his hands, he split the veil, and God, at the Lord's presence, when the Lord would return, he would begin to lift the curse of mankind. And we're going to talk about this, and I'll even ask if anyone would like to testify about it. Because in Malachi 4:2, this is also one of my favorite scriptures. It's Malachi 4:2. If you'd like to mark this scripture or underline it or put a star there, I'll read it for you. It says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." So what the scripture is really saying is that when our Lord would return, because God has the blood on deposit, God would begin to lift the curse. So not only do we have the fulfillment of Daniel 12:1 to 4 about the increase of knowledge, many running to and fro, we would have a great deal of healing that would take place. I know as a personal testimony in my own life, I had a touch of pneumonia 2 times. If they didn't have antibiotics, I would have been dead. So I thank the Lord for antibiotics. But at the present time, we have x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, antibiotics, vaccinations, organ transplants, cataract removal, and go on and on. So to me, this is a wonderful proof. We're not going to read chronology. You don't have to read prophecy. This is a wonderful proof that we are living at the time of our Lord's presence. And our Lord's presence is one of the key doctrines that separate us from the nominal system. So what we're going to do now, just for a few minutes, if anyone would like to testify about any experience that you had in the medical field that you were actually saved through the modern methods that we have now, I'd be very happy to hear it. So if anyone would like to offer any type of testimony on how you were actually saved, if you were living in a different generation or a different time period, I know I would have been dead if they didn't have antibiotics, because the pneumonia would have just wiped me out. Even though they caught it in time, I did not have to go to the hospital. But I will also mention the thing that I learned the second time I had a touch of pneumonia. If you ever have a very bitter taste in your mouth that you could tell it's not normal, go to the doctor right away, because that's pneumonia. Your lungs are putrefying, and that's why you get that terrible taste in your mouth. So that was a wonderful lesson for me. So who would like to give any type of experience that you had, and this would be a proof of our Lord's presence, that you had with anything to do with hospitals or antibiotics that actually saved your life? Yes, okay, Brother Goodnett back. Thank you. Brother, appreciate that.
Eu cred că dacă eu aș fi trăit cu vreo 50 de ani în urmă, m-aș fi născut, aș fi murit la vârsta de vreo 21 de ani.
I think that if I would have been born about 50 years before I was born, I would have most likely died when I was about 21 years old.
Că am avut operații de apendicit la 21 de ani. Și dacă eram cu 50 de ani mai înainte, când nu se făceau la noi așa operații, eu trebuia să mor.
So I had an appendix that erupted, and I had a surgery, and about 50 years before I had that surgery, they didn't used to have the emergency appendix surgery.
Cred că asta e o dovadă că cunoștința crește și în toate domeniile, și inclusiv și în medicină.
I think this is a certain proof that the knowledge is increasing all over the world in medicine and in all other fields. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Bevo. I appreciate your testimony. And if I remember correctly, according to my mind, George Tabor had a ruptured appendicitis, and they actually got him to the hospital and saved his life too. And Brother Ted, I think your father died that they were not able to save him. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Brother Ted Martin had an experience that he was not able to survive, but due to the fact that we're living at the present time, we take so many things for granted that if we were living in a different century, we would not survive. Anyone else? Yeah, okay, Brother Chris.
When I was born, when I was delivered in downtown Chicago, one block from Lake Michigan, when I was born, I was so wrapped up in my cords, in the cords of my mother inside the womb, I have some small, I can point to some small things specifically about my ears, and but I don't want to get into those level of detail. Anyway, the bottom line is if it had been 50 years ago or 100 years ago, I probably would be not here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate. We'll entertain one or two more. The reason I'm trying to emphasize this is that, you know, we study so hard to prove chronology, and we try to prove the Lord's presence through history and everything that we can think of. The Lord's not going to give us a scripture, Matthew 10:10, the Lord will return in 1874. He has to hide this. He has to hide this from the world of mankind. The Lord does not want the world of mankind to know he's present at the present time. This is a secret. So we realize that all of these wonderful things that we have now are really a result of the Lord's presence. Brother Paul.
Very quickly. In the United States today, about 15 women die in pregnancy per 100,000 births. A century ago, 600 women would die per 100,000 births. So, wow. What a difference 100 years makes.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. And we probably could bring out a lot of medical statistics to prove the improvement that we have at the present time. Okay, one more, and then we'll continue. Sister Tamara, thank you.
Yeah, that was exactly my thinking, too, is the great improvement with childbirth and pregnancy and delivery with babies. I think Brother Paul's statistics was along the lines of what I was thinking. Just out of my four children, two of those deliveries, I don't know that I would have made it without modern medicine. And nowadays, very commonly, C-sections are performed, but, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, statistics are for when those became common, but that's my personal experience. And then, of course, our son Tyler was saved with modern medicine when he was a baby. So we can see that the Lord is working.
Yes, thank you. And now we have heart bypass and heart transplants, and so it's really a wonderful thing. All right, continuing, I just wanted to emphasize that it's due to all of the things that we see now that we're living in a wonderful time. We're not even talking about all the inventions that we have that would be from Daniel 12, 1 to 4, about airplanes and computers that we have, and all the inventions that you could possibly think of. I know I spent my time in construction. Jack Whitaker would be familiar with this, but I'd stand there with an instrument and order the fella and the caterpillar. They have these caterpillars, I guess, whatever you call them. Anyway, I would tell him how far he should go with the ground, how deep he should go in the ground. I just looked through the instrument and I knew that it had to be like 2 or 3 feet. We had what they call a benchmark. The benchmark would be on a wall, and then you tell the fella with the machine to go like 3 feet below, and I tell him how close he is, and then we put the footing in there. So this is something that it would take forever to dig out a foundation for all of these buildings, and that was so fast that it wouldn't take him long to make a real long, long pass, and he'd be down 2, 3, 4 feet, whatever you'd want, and then we put in a foundation. So this becomes something that you could put up buildings very quickly now, all to do with modern inventions. And I think we could probably spend all afternoon talking about this. All right, our last point we have here is, first let's sing. I want to have someone read hymn number 7, and Dorothea, could you read just the first verse? We're only going to read and sing the first verse, hymn number 7. And watch for the word face.
A little while, now he has come. The hour draws on apace. The blessed hour, the glorious morn, when we shall see his face. How light our trials then will seem. How short our pilgrim way. The life of earth, a fitful dream, dispelled by dawning day. Then, O Lord Jesus, quickly show thy glory and thy light, and take God's longing children home, and end earth's weary night.
Okay, we're going to sing just the first verse of hymn number 7.
Thank you.
for our last section, what we're going to do is turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 38:23. And Donna Whitaker, could you read that for us, Ezekiel 38:23?
Ezekiel 38:23. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Okay. And then we're going to read 39:21-29. And I'll ask for a volunteer who would like to read 39:21-29. Who would like to read that for us? Oh, yes, okay, Barbara, thank you. Thank you. Ezekiel 39:21-29, and watch for the word face.
And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God.
Okay, so we can see from Deuteronomy that God hid his face from Israel, and in Ezekiel, in the future now, there, God will reveal his face toward Israel. And we have a wonderful scripture. I'll just quote part of it in 1 John 3:2. It says that for the church class, we don't know what we shall be or like, but we know when we see him, we shall be like him. So one of the rewards will be not only will you see Jesus, but you'll have the same nature as him. We're going to turn to hymn number 4 and just the 4th verse. So I'd like to have a volunteer read the 4th verse of hymn number 4 and look for anything to do with glory or face. Who would like to read verse 4? Yes, Janine? Okay, thank you.
And though a pilgrim I must wander, still absent from the one I love, he soon will have me with him yonder in his own glory realms above. Triumphantly I therefore own, my goal is Christ and Christ alone. My goal is Christ and Christ alone.
Okay, thank you. And then We have other scriptures too to show that in Malachi 12:10, that when the Jewish people will survive Jacob's trouble, they'll recognize him whom they had pierced. So we realize that right after Jacob's trouble, God will appear. In one of our studies, it was interesting for me to know that in John 5:37, Jesus said, God has a form. So I think this is a great revelation that it's very difficult to comprehend a spirit being. But God evidently has some type of form. It's very difficult to try to think of how they live or what the conditions are. But he definitely has some type of form, whatever that would be.